The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
How about that for an encore, as we saw basically a replay of what we were treated to on opening night by Damian Lillard. Another 30-point performance, another game where he takes over in the fourth quarter. 30 points exactly. 15 of those 30 came in the fourth quarter. He scored 15 of the final 16 points for the Bucks. The lone holdout was a free throw from Brook Lopez. He was fantastic down the stretch. Brook Lopez, the other name that we do have to mention as well, is that's what a lot of the conversation was coming into this game. And Brook Lopez's play, the Bucks' defense overall, dominated what we heard from Adrian Griffin after the game as the Bucks take down the New York Knicks in our first taste of the in-season tournament here, and are now sitting atop their table with the Miami Heat, both those teams 1-0 in group play. But this defense looked very much like the group we hoped it would be. And I'm going to go back to some comments that Tom Thibodeau, head coach of the Knicks, made prior to this game about the Bucks, and a couple of questions that were kicked his way by New York-based reporters, by some local reporters of our own as well, had to do with the defense and what we had seen from the Bucks thus far. Obviously, on paper, not where you expected the Bucks to be on the defensive end of the floor. They entered this game with the worst defensive rating in the league, or were last up until the Indiana Pacers' most recent game prior to tonight, towards the bottom. And after that Damian Lillard trade was made, I know I had said, I think most of us had said, look, the defense is obviously going to slip. You can't give up a player the caliber of Jrue Holiday and not expect that to be the case. Damian Lillard told us on media day, I feel like I'm a better defender than my reputation is. I think I do a better job on that floor, and I think playing in a good team system and in a good team defense is going to illustrate that even more. First four games of the season weren't on Damian Lillard, were not on Brook Lopez, weren't on Giannis. As a group, it didn't work. And I'm going to continue to point out, credit should be given to Adrian Griffin for exactly what he told us in his post-game comments earlier tonight. That sometimes you just have to listen to your players. And he pointed out, it's not that the players are always going to be right. But sometimes we, as coaches, we're too smart for our own good. A couple of players came to me. The exact quote from Griff, a couple of players came to me and said they wanted Brook deeper in a drop. So I was smart enough to listen to them, and it paid off tonight. Now, we gave up something, and you always got to give up something in this league. You can't take everything away. What we gave up tonight was what this defense historically, the last 5 years, had given up a high volume of, and that's everything Jalen Brunson did tonight. 45 points. From Jalen Brunson. The two-man game, the mid-range, those floaters, all of that. That's going to be there in a drop defense. Because you're forcing Brook Lopez to say, do I step up and defend Jalen Brunson and give up the lob to Mitchell Robinson? Or do I just say, look, I think Mitchell Robinson is going to throw down every single one of those lobs you put up there. I think you're going to miss 60% of those jumpers from that spot. So I'll do that. Damian Lillard's another guy that had feasted against that Bucks defense. C.J. McCollum, Steph Curry, all of these guys. That's what you're going to give up in a drop defense. And as Griff said, look, you got to give up something. And we knew we're going to end up giving that up to Jalen Brunson. But we felt like this will allow us to take away the rest, and I think we can do a better job defending the perimeter. Jalen Brunson went off. No one else did. We were able to defend the three-point line pretty well. Brook cleaned everything up around the basket. Giannis did a terrific job, as Adrian Griffin said, on Julius Randle as well. And even Damian Lillard, he was quick to point out, got to stop down the stretch with that steal in the final, what, minute of the game. A much different-looking defense tonight than we had seen the first four games of the season. I don't expect the Bucks to play this way exclusively going forward, nor should they. Adrian Griffin has a system that he wants to run. Part of it is playing to what you have. That any good coach, not only what Griff said tonight about listening to your players and the fact that as a former player, he can relate to them more, and he knows, and he has that experience of, look, coaches, me, my staff, we can review this. You and I, we can review the film. We can watch it on TV, and we can say, well, why wouldn't you do this? The players are the ones that are experiencing that. The players are the ones going through it in real time, and the players are the ones that are saying, well, here's what happened. The way that Griff broke down that Damian Lillard and one, where it was a two-man game between Giannis and Dame Lillard, that play looked as though it was exactly how it was drawn up, but as Griffin said, it wasn't. They top-locked on Dame. He made the basically audible to say, here's what we're going to do, and made it look like this is how it's supposed to be. The players are the ones that experience that. No, look, I know this is what you're going for. You can have this intention. It's not going to work. We tried this X amount of times, and here's what they're doing. So for Adrian Griffin, 5 games into his head coaching career, to come out and say, you know what? I trust them. I'm going to listen to my players. I want this to be an open dialogue. I want this to be a two-way street. I want my players to have a voice. But to note, not only he listened to his players saying, hey, let's do this. Let's let Brooke play this way. I think the other thing that we haven't mentioned that needs to be said and is equally as important here is the fact that his players already felt comfortable enough to approach him 5 games in and say, look, we got to try this. Knowing it's a two-way street here. We have a voice. He may not always go with what we suggest, but we feel comfortable approaching him. As Adrian Griffin said, when I played, it's all about getting a sense of how approachable your coach is. I played for some that were very approachable. I played for others that were not. And I want my players to think I'm approachable and we can have these conversations. You may not get your way, but when we leave that room after having the conversation, we leave on the same team. And team is the word to use for what we saw from this team tonight. They looked much, much more in lockstep. They were connected defensively. And Damian Lillard, again, if you needed any reason to figure out, is this guy, like, why would the Bucks make this move? Is he everything we've heard he is? We've seen 2 times in 5 games. He is, in fact, everything that you heard and the way he has dominated and taken over late in these games. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I do want to get to some of what we saw from Brooke Lopez, specifically a couple of unsung heroes from this game. One specifically that I think was called out and highlighted by head coach Adrian Griffin, but needs even more praise for what he has done thus far, not only tonight, but I think in each of the 5 games thus far this season. And more of what we saw from Damian Lillard, because this was great. This was a step in the right direction defensively. As I said at the top, I don't think this is going to be exclusively what you see. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch portions of this, but it did not seem like we saw quite as many different looks. I think that's going to start to change, but I think the big thing is you're not going to see as many possessions where they're not in a drop. I don't think this means the Bucks aren't going to go back to switching. The Bucks aren't going to employ any type of zone coverages. It's drop and that's it. You're still going to see layers of this. But I think for Adrian Griffin, it's striking the right balance, and tonight more of it was needed. This is a group that's still getting comfortable, still developing that chemistry, and still trying to figure things out on both ends. So go back to what you're comfortable with as you continue to go through some of these growing pains, and that's what we saw tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. Bucks take down the Knicks to open up the in-season tournament. Also, we talked about it a couple of times a week or so ago. It's finally here, and we finally got a glimpse at not only the alternate court and the City Edition jerseys, but we got our first look at the competition in the in-season tournament. We'll tackle that one as well after this on Bucks Talk. Another Damian Lillard thriller, as Marjon Beauchamp told us after the game. He put it best: Dame time means game time, and the Bucks hold off the New York Knicks tonight, 110-105, our final score. So we are experiencing some technical issues which are preventing us from taking calls. But if you do have thoughts, you can drop them on Twitter at Justin Garcia NBA, or you can leave a message with Tommy. And we'll do our best to relay what the consensus is, not only on Dame Lillard, on the defense, on the play of Brook Lopez. 8 block shots tonight from Brook Lopez, who quite frankly could have easily had double figures. He was around everything tonight. I mentioned there was an unsung hero, not only from tonight, but I think through the first 5 games of this season. We'll get to that. But this defense looked closer to the group that we saw not only a season ago, but those 5 seasons under the previous coaching staff. Tom Thibodeau, before the game, was asked about this Bucks defense and how do you attack it? What have you seen thus far? Everybody's going to point to the numbers and say, man, this defense is bad. And we'll be blunt. Wednesday night in Toronto was about as bad as I'd seen this defense, certainly in the last 6 years. You'd had some similar games to that, but there were reasons for it. You saw some of that the year that Brook was out for 2/3 of the season. You've seen performances like that when this team was out multiple starters. But to be full strength and to look like that group did on Wednesday night is the worst we had seen this team in years. But Tom Thibodeau was asked, looking at the numbers, something's off with this Bucks team. And I think the question was asked of both Tibbs and Griff before the game. Hey, you essentially traded Jrue Holiday for Dame Lillard. Has it gone as expected? Was essentially the question or what we were getting at here. And, you know, both Griff and Tibbs said, look, they're both terrific players and they both have strengths. But as Adrian Griffin said, you know, we've heard this multiple times from him. It's not one-on-one, right? When Chris missed that game, who's going to fill in for Chris? Well, 5 guys are going to fill in for Chris. Everybody's going to fill in for Chris. Who's going to take on this defensive assignment? All of us are. It's not one-on-one. That's not what we're looking to do. We're looking to be a 5-on-5 defense. And, you know, Jrue Holiday can cover a lot of that. Dame may not be the individual defender that Jrue Holiday is, but we want to be a good team defense. We want 5 guys connected together. You're going to have moments when you have to go to a mano-a-mano battle. But overall, this is a team sport. So as we've heard from day one, under Adrian Griffin, you don't have to be a lockdown defender, but you got to be a good team defender. You got to know where to rotate, where your rotations are coming from. You got to know the guy's tendencies. You have to be prepared and scouted to know what they're going to do before they do. And that's what Adrian Griffin is looking for. Those are the things that are going to take time for this defense to develop. When we saw those first 4 games of the season, some of those issues on the defensive end of the floor, a lot of it was communication-based. A lot of it, as Jay Crowder told us after practice yesterday, and we heard Jay Crowder talk about this last season as well, is, look, in theory, it's one thing to say, I want a team that switches more. You'll hear fans say it. You know, it's funny that for a couple of years, all you would hear about the drop defense the last 2 years under Bud was how bad it was. Like, why would this team run the drop defense? You give up all those baskets that you did to Jalen Brunson tonight. You did that against the Dame Lillard team. You did that against the C.J. McCollum. You did it against the Celtics. All of those examples you can point to. And it took us four games for Bucks fans to say, hey, bring back the drop defense. But it's one thing to point to switching and say, well, we should switch more. But I think what we severely underestimate is switching is not some magic elixir. And a lot of coaches will tell you, too, when you switch, a lot of times you can see your defense take a step backward. And it's not so much the principle of it. It more has to do with the mental aspect that switching can almost allow you to take a step backward because it seems as though, okay, we're doing something different. This isn't man-on-man defense. I just got to take him to here, and then I can ease off a little bit, and I go here. You see those gaps. But it requires a lot of communication, and it requires experience. And you got a group that is largely played in this drop defense. I know we've added switching. I know we've seen stories about it. I know the last couple of years, the championship year, we talked about the Bucks doing this hybrid approach. P.J. Tucker coming and allowed you to switch more. Jrue Holiday, when he arrived, I talked about this the other night, Jrue Holiday pointed out, look, when we play some of these teams, we got to switch more. I played against the Utah Jazz, that game that sticks out early in the season in 2021. We got to switch against these teams. So the Bucks had more of a hybrid approach, but you got to get more of those reps because switching is about connectivity, communication, and that quote from Griff, knowing where the help man is coming from and where you have to go to as the help man. The number one thing you cannot do in a switching style defense is assume things. Because when you do that, or when you rotate or move wrong, somebody is wide open, and that's what we saw a lot of these first four games. Part of it was what you're asking Brook Lopez to do, arguably playing out of position. The other part that we saw was a lack of that communication and experience on defense, primarily through the switch. The unsung hero of tonight's game, I think it's pretty easy to spot who it is, but we'll reveal who it is and why, not only tonight, but these first five games of the season, their play has stood out. We'll tell you who that name is next on Bucks Talk. 110-105 final score here as Damian Lillard carries the way offensively, and this Bucks defense stepped it up big time, specifically behind the help of Brook Lopez, who blocked eight shots and looked at home early. We mentioned it on the broadcast and kind of joked about it off the air as well, but we saw two 3-second calls in this game, and the early one that we saw on Brook Lopez was a good sign. It was one of those rare instances where just hearing that whistle and seeing 3 seconds defensively was a good feeling, knowing Brook Lopez is, you know, anchored where he is most comfortable, and it made a big impact tonight. Now, there were some negatives or some things to nitpick we will get to in just a second, but sticking with the positivity here, the unsung hero of this game, to me, I think there's really two choices when you say unsung. But Marjon Beauchamp, I know there's been a lot of calls for him to get more and more opportunities. Jerry from Oak Creek called in earlier and said Marjon should be starting over Malik Beasley. A few others chiming in. Marjon's got to keep getting some minutes. Hard not to be impressed with what you've seen. And even Adrian Griffin after the game in the comments that we heard had similar things to say about Marjon, in that it's only been four games, but he's really establishing himself as a threat on both ends of the floor. He's taken the challenge on the defensive end. That's what stands out, too. When you look at all these game logs from Marjon Beauchamp, opening night against the 76ers, his defensive assignment was Tyrese Maxey. The very next game, his defensive assignment against the Atlanta Hawks is Trae Young. And tonight, we saw Marjon Beauchamp taking Jalen Brunson for large swatches of this game. So they're feeding him those minutes. And I think two of your big takeaways from Adrian Griffin so far is the flexibility that he has had, the willingness to listen to his players and take those opinions into account for how he is going to structure his game plan. but also allowing some of those guys to learn on the job and to work through mistakes. Giving Marjan those minutes now against some of the tougher perimeter assignments, knowing full well he's starting to look better and better. He's establishing himself, was the exact quote from Griff. It's not hard to imagine Marjan Beauchamp being a big piece of a playoff rotation for this team as early as this season. If you're going to do that, you got to continue to get those reps in the regular season. So seeing Marjan Beauchamp on the floor, and not only that, but seeing the assignments that he is drawing, to me, is a very, very encouraging thing. And offensively, we touched on this throughout the preseason. We can joke about what he did at the Pro-Am, scoring 83 points. Last year, we mentioned as well, you know, I was led to believe the offense for Marjan Beauchamp was going to be hideous. It's been better than expected. This year, it's been even better than that. He looks like a confident shooter, and he just has that ability to step into those shots and confidently hit them. I think we've seen enough to know the corner is his spot. That's where the first two threes came from tonight, and that was a big stretch between he and another player we'll get to in just a second. That's what pushed the Bucks in front for most of this game when they took that lead early in the second quarter. But also, Marjan Beauchamp, outside from Giannis, and Damian Lillard you would have to throw in there as well, but Marjan's the other guy that gets up and down the floor and runs the floor. We mentioned two big things prior to this game to circle and keep an eye on in terms of the Bucks' struggles. One of them was what we saw defensively around the rim. That did improve somewhat tonight. A lot of that had to do with where you anchored Brook Lopez, but the Bucks were giving up a putrid 80% shooting to opponents at the rim. The amount of shots opponents were taking around the basket hadn't really changed. They were just connecting at a higher rate, and the reason for that was because the shots were easier. Whereas the last 5 years, those shots were contested. Whether it was Giannis, whether it was Giannis coming over as the help man or Brook Lopez there, they were contested shots. You're not going to have a high success rate going up against 2 7-footers near the rim. Uncontested shots so far this season, to be shooting 80%. In the first half, that number plummeted to 44%. The Bucks were contesting shots, and it showed. But the other area is transition, and it's not just defense. Adrian Griffin spent a lot of time talking about the transition defense 5 games into this season. And the big takeaway and the big talking point we heard repeatedly from Griff is there's things we need to clean up. But a lot of this comes down to the offense as well. We got to take better shots, and we got to put our defense in a better spot because it's a two-way street. Like, we have to help out the defense. The transition defense still had some problems tonight, and that's a big spark that the New York Knicks got. But maybe swept under the rug and not getting quite as much attention is the transition offense is still not where it needs to be. The Bucks ranked dead last in the league in points created in transition. Dead last. A team with Giannis, a team with Dame Lillard, last. Marjan Beauchamp was the only guy through these first 5 games getting up and down the floor and scoring in transition. So he's going to be big in that aspect as well. I'm not quite there yet that Marjan Beauchamp needs to start, but I'm very encouraged by what we're seeing from Marjan Beauchamp. And I think the big thing is just keep getting him those reps. Doesn't matter if he starts, if he closes and you get that confidence eventually, great. But just keep getting him those reps and minutes and defensive assignments. I like what Malik Beasley has done so far. Now, second time, you know, we talked about the similarities between this game and the season opener as it pertained to Damian Lillard and his stat line. Similarities between those two games from Malik Beasley as well, as I believe he only took 2 shots in the season opener as well. Just 2 shots tonight, and again, only 1 was a 3. You got to get some more looks for Beasley because he's a guy that can heat up, and when he does, he'll detonate. But defensively, we said that was going to be the question on Beasley. You don't expect him to be Drew Holiday. Can he just be an adequate defender? And it's extremely small sample size theater. But I think five games in, Malik Beasley has been more than adequate, and he has been a willing defender. Not the guy that his reputation was coming into this season. So I'm fine with how you're utilizing both of those guys. To me, the big, big piece tonight, not just what Brooke Lopez did, not just what Dame Lillard did, not just Giannis going 3-for-3 on threes and 7-for-10 at the free throw line up until he was fouled on that three. A big piece was Jay Crowder. And I think five games in, I'm sure a lot of you had questions about Jay Crowder coming into this season. Jay Crowder would be the first to tell you, last season didn't go as planned. Didn't have a great season. Part of that was the whole situation. Being away from the Phoenix Suns, not playing. He kept himself in shape, doing cardio. But there's one thing to be in shape. It's another thing to be in game shape and to get those reps. And for whatever reason, he fell out of favor with that coaching staff. But Jay Crowder wanted to be here. He's back. This is a group, this is a system that just seems to fit his strengths. And Jay Crowder's looked great five games into the season. He's looked closer. I don't think he's all the way there. He's looked closer to the guy that we saw in Miami going against Jay Crowder. Maybe more so Phoenix with the Suns in that final series. But he's looked closer to that guy than he has the guy that we saw a year ago. And tonight, mention those threes from Marjan. Jay Crowder hit four threes and hit some big ones in the second quarter and in the second half that gave this team the lead and built their lead. Not only that, we've seen Jay Crowder be a small ball four. Tonight you saw Jay Crowder take a lot of perimeter assignments. And if he can continue to do that and show more and more of that, that's going to be another thing that makes this defense continue to get better. He was one of your closers tonight, and we heard Griff say, I like the size that that group gives me. You're basically swapping out Dame Drew Holiday for Dame, and you're throwing Jay Crowder in there as well. Swapping him out for Grayson Allen was one of your closers last year, depending on the situation. So I like what we've seen five games into this season from Jay Crowder. Get you updated on a couple of other scores going on, a good matchup in terms of team records taking place in Denver, and update you on the in-season tournament. Some thoughts on the in-season tournament as well, as it seems like it's still 50-50 amongst the fans on how you feel about it. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk. Hey, we got a good thing. Don't know if I'm gonna see you again. A couple of you chiming in with some similar thoughts about Jay Crowder and how I would say terrific he has been. Again, five games into the season, but very encouraging start to the season from Jay Crowder. I think it's been an encouraging start from Marjan Beauchamp, obviously, as well. There's a lot of you that want Marjan inserted in the starting lineup. Couple of questioning, too. How long is Malik Beasley going to remain in the starting lineup? Look, who starts games isn't important. Who finishes the games is what really matters. And as of right now, Jay Crowder is one of your closers. The group we saw tonight is the Bucks' best closing option as of right now. You go with Brooke Lopez, Giannis, Jay Crowder, Chris Middleton, and Dame Lillard. And especially as Chris is another guy. 21 minutes tonight, we haven't touched on. I think Chris Middleton has looked very good. We haven't seen him a lot. Tonight was the first time where those minutes eclipsed 20. But he looks better than I think I've seen from some. He looks fluid. And my big thing has always been this. I'm not going to argue with you if you're concerned that we're already seeing minutes limits or bringing Chris on slowly this early into the season. If you're concerned over that, fine. I can't tell you not to be. But my level of concern changed on, September 28th, whatever day it was, that the Bucks acquired Damian Lillard. Because if this group stayed status quo, Drew Holiday's having a terrific start as well for the Boston Celtics. What he's asked to do in Boston is much different than what he would be asked to do with the Bucks. And if this group stayed the same, you're in the same spot you were a year ago, where it's, Chris, I know we got Drew as well. We need you to be the second guy. And between you and Drew, you're going to have to both basically be 2.5. When you bring in Dame Lillard, he's the 1A, or Giannis is 1A, however you want to view it. But those two guys are clearly at the top of the food chain. And it buys Chris Middleton some more time. I'm not concerned for that reason and for the fact that I think, albeit limited, but in the minutes we've seen Chris, I think he's looked good so far. I'm not going to say he's looked great. He's looked good. And especially when you're asking him to be the third man, he's looked very good. So we're seeing things start to tick upward. Just five games, still a lot of work to be done. But, you know, the other thing we talked about just before the season started was this schedule and the fact that there was a very real chance this team was going to be around 500 10 games into the season, 15 games into the season, because it's a much different schedule than they started the season with a year ago. 76ers, Hawks, Heat, Raptors, and Knicks are the five teams you've played so far. I think the Raptors believe they will be in the play-in tournament. The other four teams are probably playoff teams, and at least believe we are going to be a playoff team. The Brooklyn Nets, who you play on Monday, probably a play-in tournament team, and right now the Brooklyn Nets have the same record as you. The Detroit Pistons have looked pretty good, all things considered, for a young building team. Jalen Duren's been a big part of that. He's looked fantastic to start the season. Cade Cunningham has looked very good. It's a young, promising team. They are not the Pistons of old that we're just going to roll over. Then you got the Indiana Pacers on the road. They expect to be a playoff team. The Orlando Magic are getting a lot of attention for that young team as well. Of can the Magic break through and make the playoffs? Hasn't gone as planned thus far, but the Bulls expect to be a playoff team. The point is, there's all these teams on the schedule that are going to be better, and that's what the Bucks are navigating through. Monday night in Brooklyn against the Nets, 6:30 tip-off. 6 o'clock is when our coverage begins. And as always, Bucks talk immediately after the game. We'll talk to you Monday night.